Hello and welcome to Porch Talk. My name is Ted Tate, and I'm here with the mayor of our town, Mr. Eddie Blunt.
Welcome. Thank you very much for having me, Ted.
Yep. Now, you may notice things sound a little different. We're not on a front porch today. We decided to actually do this in our studio, but we are a safe 6 feet apart from each other.
Yeah, so we are.
but it allows us to get a good quality recording, and we were a little worried about the weather today, so we're indoors. And normally I'd call you Mr. Mayor, but this is Porch Talk where we get kind of informal, so
sure.
I'll just call you Eddie if that's all right.
That's perfect. Thank you. Yep.
Welcome. And usually the first question I ask folks, I know you've been around here a long time, mm-hmm. but are you actually a from here?
I am a partial from here. I've been coming here since the early 60s. My mom taught school, and my dad was a firefighter, and we lived in the city of Alexandria. And the day school was let out, my dad would bring us down to Colonial Beach, and we either lived on my grandparents' boat at what is now the Colonial Beach Yacht Center, or in a trailer, which was Eleanor Park at one time, Eleanor Trailer Park. And my dad would leave, and we had bicycles and no car and a basket, and we did the whole thing that you did back in those days. We got our haircuts on the front porch. Mom mm-hmm. would cut our hair. We would go to Rocky Denson's parents' grocery store and do our shopping, and spent a lot of time on the boardwalk in the arcades, and had numerous jobs throughout my childhood.
Summer jobs. Okay.
Yep. And so school let out a little bit later here in Colonial Beach than it did in Alexandria. So I would have to ride my bike around the school and wait for all my friends to get let out of school. Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. I mean, I get a lot of people who tell me about summer memories here. Do you have any particularly vivid or fond summer memories?
Sure. It was Colonial Beach. It still is very safe, but in those days, you really could let your preteen kid get on a bicycle and go and do things, and everybody watched over everybody's kids, and the boardwalk was a really, really popular place to hang out and to work, and you could always pick up some side job picking up trash or things like that. You only needed dimes and nickels and quarters to play pinball and have some money, spending money in those days, and you got to meet everybody, and it was the same thing summer after summer. A lot of kids in the same kind of position that would come down for the summer and spend the whole summer. So you got to reacquaint yourselves each summer. And it's really interesting because you would think that your childhood friendships would be mostly around those that you grew up with where you went to high school or elementary school or whatever. But interesting enough, I guess having the whole summer off is a really big deal, and a lot of memories come from that time. And so I have a lot of really good friends here who are all now grown adults like myself and have grandkids here and live here full time and things like that.
But folks that you met during that period of time in your life?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
That's cool.
Yeah. I mean, there's some really popular names, the Trivets, of course. And, you know, I've known a lot of people down here for a very, very long time.
Your family name is certainly well known down here.
It is. Both of my grandparents from my father's side and my mother's side lived here at different times. My grandmother from my father's mother, she started the Colonial Beach Yacht Club, 1972, or 1970, one of those. But she was the actual starter of that. And then my grandfather, my mother's father, he was a big starter proponent of the Lions Club, which is now where the foundation is.
The community center. Yes, of course.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Yeah. Yeah, so our roots run pretty deep in the town. They do, yeah.
That's terrific. And so you obviously spent your school summers here, mm-hmm. and then after graduating school, where'd you go from there?
After I graduated school, I went to college. I went to Nova Community College up in Annandale campus at the time. And right when I was in my very beginning of that freshman year, my father died of a heart attack.
Oh.
Yeah, and he was young. He was 49, I think. And so that kind of left us on a lurch. And so school at that point in time kind of fell to the wayside for me. And I got very lucky. I got a job with the railroad.
Which railroad?
Fruit Growers Express, building rail cars in Alexandria off of Duke Street there. And it was a union job, so it paid really, really well for a young 18-year-old kid. And anyway, so that happened. And then we got laid off from that because the economy went south, in, if you remember, in like 1980, I would say.
And the railroads weren't doing so great either.
They didn't. And they packed up, moved to Florida, and didn't invite me to go with them. And so... Oh, I went through one job after another, and I had some friends ask me to apply for a job in Arlington County with the fire department there. And I did, and I got hired, which was crazy because there was like 1,200 applicants for 10 openings. And I was just blessed. I mean, blessed beyond, you know, my own belief. And I spent a wonderful almost 31-year career there.
As a firefighter?
As a firefighter.
Oh.
I did.
And what did you do as a firefighter? Okay. Obviously, there are different
jobs.
Well,
I retired as a captain.
Okay.
And so I was...
You said Alexandria?
Arlington County.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Probably the most interesting thing, I think, for even myself, is if you had told me when I got hired there that I would respond to two commercial airline crashes, I would have told you, you know, in Arlington? Come on. No way. And, of course, I did. I responded to their Florida crash. And then, of course, when 9/11 occurred, I was in charge of the EMS division for the South Battalion, which includes the Pentagon and the Reagan National Airport. And that was my duty day when the plane hit the Pentagon. So I was the incident commander for all EMS at the Pentagon for about the first 3 hours. And then I was relieved of command and, you know, still in the command post, but did other things.
I guess a battalion chief or whatever would have taken over.
Correct.
From you, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
I actually have a friend who was a battalion chief in Fairfax. So
very good.
Yeah.
I probably know him. So we work well together. Yeah. And then
the two events you just named are those are emblazoned in people's memories.
Sure. Sure. They'll always be in mine. I can tell you that. Yeah, for sure. My last big hoorah was in 2005. I spent 18 days down at Katrina. When the levees broke, they flew me the next morning from Reagan to Baton Rouge, put me in a Humvee, and shot me down to city of New Orleans, and we set up their emergency operations center, and we're down there for 18 days. We stayed on the USS Iwo Jima for about 12 of those days.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so, pretty cool stuff.
Certainly not boring, huh?
No.
Stories
no.
to tell at cocktail parties.
No, that was my career. I was involved in a lot. I've traveled quite a bit with that. After 9/11, I did quite a few speaking engagements around the country and elsewhere. And I did some Voice of America stuff with Beijing and Shanghai, China, and things like that. So it was huge. It was a huge opportunity. I fully never, ever expected that in my career, ever. I just figured, you know, I love the job so much. That was just such an eye-opening, worldly kind of thing that I never expected. Firefighting and EMS in itself is inherently a ton of interesting days lynched together. That's the easiest way to say it. You never know.
With some boring bits in the middle.
Yes, lots of boring bits in the middle. But there's always a story, I can tell you. Something always comes up and creates a story.
My battalion chief friend, I've always said to her, you should write a book.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. So I started that around 16 years old.
And you stumbled into it, really.
Yeah, I did.
I mean, you were just looking for any job.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Correct. Exactly right. Yeah. And I really didn't think that would be in the cards for me at the time. I thought about the military and had a foot in the door with the Navy and hoping that maybe that would escalate me into a fire department job sometime. I learned from...
So was it a conscious desire that firefighting was an alluring job to you?
Yeah, I had been a volunteer when I was... I started in 1976 in Fairfax County at Franconia.
Okay.
Volunteer fire department. And I fell in love with it at the time.
I lived in that area for many 20-odd years.
Sure. I went to Hayfield High School. I'm a Hayfield grad. Yeah. Anyway, but it didn't pay.
Right. A volunteer.
Yeah. Right. So you have to work. And when my father passed away, that just tightened things up that much more, obviously. Mm. But I've been blessed. I'll tell you, I still say to this day, it's one of the greatest experiences of my life. Both my grown sons became firefighters. One of them is still doing it right now. The other one did it for 4 years and decided he wanted to use his degree in finance, and now he's a CFP. So
CFP is?
Certified Financial Planner.
Okay.
Yeah, and up in Tyson's. And, you know, I couldn't be more proud of both of them. They're just exceptional young men. So
30 years with the fire department, and then you retired?
I did. I retired in 2011, and I've been retired since. I came down here and joined the volunteer fire department here.
That same year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I felt like after a few years, I was there about 3 years, and they made me a lieutenant, and I love them. They're hardest working people. You know, without them in this community, them and the rescue squad, we'd be in big trouble.
But and again, all volunteers.
All volunteer.
They don't
full
get paid.
Full volunteer, correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. That always amazes me, the folks that, you know, they're just doing all that and in times putting their lives on the line, you know, for nothing.
Yeah, they actually had a fire yesterday, a house fire, and they put their lives on the line yesterday, and they do all the time, and they get very little back for it other than a sense of pride and accomplishment. And that's what most firefighters do it for anyway. So it's a commitment to your community and the safety of your community. So for 44 years, essentially, I've been in doing some kind of public service at this point in time. The political thing, I got involved in the politics here. I was elected, I think, in 15. I think that's right. And was the vice mayor for 2 years. And then I ran for mayor and was elected to mayor, and I've been the mayor since. So,
and again, was that born of a desire just to help the community, or where did that come from?
It was. At the time, I saw an opportunity, I thought, for the community to continue to grow. And I thought that there was a lot of opportunities that maybe the community should reach out and take advantage of. And I think for the most part, we've been able to do that.
So did you feel like there were opportunities in front of us, that meaning the town, that the town wasn't taking advantage of, that you could help usher us into? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, I think that I actually felt that the town needed a push.
Okay.
A little push. We got it, of course. I wasn't expecting that the town manager at the time and the chief financial officer would be let go. But as it turned out, it gave me an opportunity. I was the acting town manager for 8 months, and it gave me an opportunity to get a more detailed look at the inner side of how it really works. And it was quite an eye-opening experience for me. And we learned a lot. We made a lot of changes.
I could just see you going, wait, why do we do it this way?
Yeah, pretty much. And I had come from Arlington County being a very progressive, top-shelf community, top-shelf county, obviously, with all the technology and bells and whistles that you could ever imagine.
And money.
So it was a little different, and I had a tough time comprehending some of the lack of infrastructure that we had here and needed. But we have come a very long way, and I think the sky's the limit. The one thing we have going for this town, the town of Colonial Beach, is we have the hardest working people that I've ever been surrounded by, period. And I'm talking not only the ones that are employed by the town, but the community, the volunteerism. It is really amazing. Because if you look at what we get for our dollar, if it wasn't augmented with all the volunteerism, you would barely see it.
There is an army of volunteers.
It's an army of volunteers. Yeah. It's so enlightening, and it's just such a great feeling. And this whole pandemic right now, this whole COVID-19, is making it so tough because you can't get out and do all the things that we're so used to doing with each other, the volunteerism, the camaraderie, the getting things done, you know, this whole separation. Of course, human beings are instinctively
social creatures.
Social people, yeah, creatures. And, you know, we need that. We need that time together. And I really, really hope that it comes sooner than later, I'll tell you. So it's a challenge for everyone, I can tell you. It really is.
And it is a challenge for the volunteer groups, not just, you know, because they don't get to get together and share in that as they love to do, but also, quite frankly, financially, because, you know, a lot of the people who would normally be giving to these organizations and the businesses that would normally be giving to these organizations, they can't afford to do it right now, you know, and it's tough. It's tough on everybody. I'm not sure if everybody, I think everybody realizes how tough it is on businesses, but it's also tough on volunteer groups.
Oh, very tough. And there's going to be a huge gap when this is over. And what we're going to have to do is be really instrumental and put all of our heads together in our collective efforts to fill that gap back in, because there will definitely be a gap. There's going to be not only a financial gap, but a time gap, a lapse in time where we may lose some folks who, you know, that have been volunteering, that can't afford to volunteer now because they have to go back to work.
Absolutely.
Or things like that. You know, people's 401ks have taken a big hit.
I can attest to that.
Yeah, me too. A lot of uncertainty for sure. But I will tell you, it's refreshing to know that I'm in Colonial Beach, the town of Colonial Beach, because of the people that I'm surrounded by. And everybody's willing to live with a little bit less here to make sure that everybody's taken care of.
The sense of community is something that's always struck me here.
Yeah.
Is how, as you say, people look out for each other and there's just a sense of community. And all these volunteers are people who are volunteering because they want and they want the town to succeed, and they want everybody to come along with them.
Yeah.
You know, they don't want to leave anyone behind, as that old expression went.
It's
all
inclusive. It's an all inclusive community. And again, the sky's the limit. This is just a bump in the road for us. We'll get through this. It's going to be trying. There's no doubt about it. It's not going to be easy. But we're going to get through this. And, you know, I'm hoping that a couple years from now, we'll kind of forget what was that all about.
You can tell stories about it.
Exactly.
To the kids.
Exactly right. Amen. Yeah.
And maybe we shouldn't dwell on it too much.
I saw that the Chamber of Commerce has postponed the River Festival.
Yeah, that just came out today.
And they're going to do it in September. And I think that's probably a good move.
A good goal.
Yeah, I think so too. And, you know, we can't stop. We have to keep projecting that we're going to do this and do that. We don't want to stop.
And it's important to have something to look forward to.
It is.
So
it is.
Even if you're just kicking the can down the road a
Correct.
Bit and saying, okay, we'll do the Father's Day car show in September and we'll do the River Fest in September, at least that gives people something to focus on and go, right, this isn't forever.
Yep. As soon as we can get the town, as soon as we get the blessings from the governor's office and we can get the town opened up to the next phase, we will do it. We'll be the first to do it as soon as we can. And, you know, I'd love to get we'd love to get the beach open at some point in time, even if it is for the recommendation of just exercise and fishing. I guess as long as you social distance, we can, you know, call exercise however you want to call it. So some people, it may mean laying on a beach towel doing push-ups. I don't know. I don't know. You know, who knows what that looks like.
I know, but I've certainly tried to, you know, get out of the house and go for walks around the point and that sort of thing just to get that
exercise. And I will tell you, I am a total proponent. Please get outside. Everybody, get outside. Get some sunshine. Get some fresh air. Go for a walk. You can't use the beach right now, but you can use all the streets. Go for a walk. But please get outside. Exercise. Have some fun. Do some things. And, you know, right now, all the pets are just loving this because they have us home all the time now.
I just adopted a puppy about a month ago.
There you go.
Part of it was, you know what? I'm going to be home all the time.
Yeah.
This is a good time to do training and all that sort of thing.
Absolutely. But it's a great opportunity to get your dog outside, get them socialized, you know, with the other dogs. And
dogs don't understand social distancing.
No, they don't. They sure don't. No. So, you know, like I said, this is new, even for me with all the different events in my career in the fire department. I was fortunate. I started was on a task force that worked on the Y2K thing because we thought maybe the lights were going to go out.
And everything else.
And of course it didn't, came and went. And then, there were several things in there, but H1N1 was one. And then of course we had 9/11, anthrax, the snipers. I worked on all task force on all those things. And they all brought a different set of challenges. But this is really new. We train for biological and chemical problems, issues, whatever you want to call it, events. Mm-hmm. And but this is really, this is unique. It's different. You can't see it. You can't smell it. You don't know where it is. You don't know if it's on you or not on you. You don't know if it's on your friend or your spouse or whoever, your dog even. You just don't know. So,
yeah,
you know, and so we have to really, because it's so new, we have to listen to the professionals and the scientists and the medical doctors and the powers to be to guide us right now.
So looking ahead, mm-hmm. back to life as normal, mm-hmm. and your vision of Colonial Beach moving in the right direction, and you say the sky is the limit. Mm-hmm. Where, what else do you want to see us accomplish?
Well, I'd like to see the infill lots built out with the residences that you're seeing now. As you've probably noticed when you drive around town, there's hardly a vacant lot anymore.
Mm.
They're being filled in. I know that in the north side of town, the numbered streets, there's a project underway, very preliminary, looking at filling those streets in with homes as well. And then, of course, the property across from Wilkerson's, which we call the Lennar property, is still owned by Lennar, the home builder, and there's 900-plus lots there.
Wow.
Yep. And they're still sincerely interested in that project as well. You know, there's all kinds of things on the table. There's talk about gambling coming back at some level to the town. We've all heard that. I've heard that for most of my life.
Yeah,
almost 60 years they've been talking about that. And but, you know, again, what brings you to Colonial Beach is the natural resources. That river is the biggest attraction, and that bay are the biggest attractions. And then that gets you here. And then once you get here and you start to meet people, and I, you know, it's funny because I bring friends down here, and it's like they'll say, they must know somebody who owns a truck like mine because everybody waves. And I'm like, no.
That's just what we do
That's
here.
That's just what we do here. I said, you know, it's like the old days when I grew up in the city of Alexander. People waved. If you went to get a haircut, you knew the people sitting beside you typically and things like that. So
it's funny. I have a running joke. I sit on my porch and wave at people, mm-hmm. and when they don't wave back, I say, "Oh, tourist."
Yeah, exactly right. Well, there's some truth to that, but it catch them off guard because you can always tell. They're like, "Is he waving at me?" And then they wave.
You get that last second wave, like, "Oh, I'm supposed to
but
do this."
I've been at the brewery a few times, and people have asked, just randomly asked, "Why does everybody wave?" And it's like, "Why not? Why not show, you know, somebody that you're happy to say hello?" I mean, that's pretty much, if you're in Colonial Beach, why not be happy? It really is. It's a nice little slice of heaven. So we want to keep it that way too, by the way.
And then in addition to obviously your mayor duties, for which mm-hmm. you don't get paid, I believe.
I get paid $150 a month.
Oh.
That's correct.
Wow.
And I eat most of that
buy
up.
Buy a couple of beers at the brewery.
Yeah. Well, I eat most of that up in ink. Printer ink. I don't have an office at Town Hall. I had an office one time, but I wanted to get the CFO into a private office where she could work or he could work by themselves, not be disturbed. So we made that happen. I'm all in for the town. I love this town. This town of Colonial Beach is awesome. My roots are here. You know, some of my fondest memories are here, and I'm making more memories all the time. And there's difficulties with being the mayor. I'm not going to make any bones about it. You know, you're not making everybody happy.
Well, Eddie, we're running short on
okay.
time. Is
okay.
there anything else that maybe I haven't asked you about mm-hmm. or we haven't talked about that you'd like to touch on?
Well, before I leave, I want to say one thing. I'm really impressed with this radio station, by the way.
You.
I listen to it all the time. Super impressed. I got my kids listening to it now. And I'm really happy that I didn't know what to expect, but I'm really happy. I look forward, Ted, to all of us getting back out and being able to enjoy some time out together, camaraderie, being able to hug again, being able to shake hands again, if that's we ever get to do that again. Some people say that's going to be a change, but whatever, banging elbows, whatever you have to do, I don't care. But it's just going to be nice to get people out. And, you know, I want to thank everybody in this town for doing their part. Because while you may not be sick or vulnerable to this disease, we have plenty of people in our community who are. And it's super, super important that we take care of them, we nurture them, and help them. Because they have families, and they're a big part of this community. as a society, we will prevail because we are human beings and we will take care of each other first.
Yeah. Eddie Blunt, thank you very much for sitting and talking with me on Porch Talk at our studios here at WWER. Thank you for coming in and thanks for letting us see a little bit more about Eddie the person.
Awesome. Thank you, Ted. It was an honor. I really do appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Great. Thanks.
Thank you.